I may have him do that one again. Amen. All right. You know, if you'll look at the title of the message this morning, children are a blessing and not a burden. Amen. You know, saying that, as I thought about that, especially this morning, as I looked around and realized all the things that have been done, there's been a lot of burden, hasn't there? I mean, when you really think about it, all the set work and Karen and Sherry and the others who have worked so hard on the set, I am so grateful for you guys. I'm sure they would tell you, amen? Amen. That it's been a bit of a burden, you know. They've had to carry a burden. But can I tell you that the blessing is going to come? Because there's going to be kids going to walk in. They're going to see that Jeep that the amazing Tony, I've changed his name from Tony to the amazing Tony, has put together. They're going to see that Jeep, and they're going to see all these other things around here. And they're really going to get hooked up, you know. They're going to get signed up to some things that we're going to be able to share with them from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to understand that ultimately, you know, there are burdens that we have to bear when it comes to children, but they are a blessing. Now, today we're going to be in the shortest of the Gospels, and that's the Gospel of Mark, and it's the earliest of the Gospel accounts. And I remember Matt has done a series on the Gospel of Mark. I've done a series as well. I entitled my series, The Gospel of Doing, because there's a word that occurs over and over again in the Gospel of Mark, and that's immediate. I mean, things happen. Things are immediately done. So in this 10th chapter that we're going to be in, he really expounds upon some things that are central to who we are as Christians and who we are as people of faith. And one of those things, he talks about marriage, and he gives the model of marriage. And the model of marriage is one man and one woman. And so as Christians, we understand that, and we proclaim that, and we want to do our best to proclaim that by having marriages that say, you know what, there's problems, we've had some difficulty, you know, we've went through some trials, we may be in a trial right now, but we have a God that is seeing us through that trial. And then he gives the mission of marriage, which is the two will become one flesh as well. And all these things are to model the church. Well, then Christ turns his attention to one of the key relationships in God's kingdom. Now, they're all key, they're all important, but one of the things that he shares in here is about children. And we want to realize that our relationship with God is based a lot on the way that a child trusts its parent. So let's read Mark the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16. It's going to be on the screen. Hope you have your Bible. If you don't, it's on the screen here this morning. Here's the word of God. Then they brought little children to him. Well, who's him? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in." And look what he does here. He took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them. And then he blessed them. And may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word today. Just let me give you a little general overview. And we need to hook up on this. We need to remember this. Parents, you do need to bring your kids to Jesus Christ. That's something that we've got to remember that we need to do. Now, this can be a burden. I understand that. Getting here on Sunday morning, I remember Brenda and I, when we had kids at home, and we're getting ready to have a grandkid, hopefully at home. He's going to spend all his time with us, by the way, and now it's mom and dad. It is a burden to get here. Getting dressed, getting all this and done, it is a burden. But really, it's a blessing. Because you can see the gospel take root in their life. They brought their kids to Christ. Christ said, "Let the little children come unto me." And that is something that we, as their moms, dads, grandparents, even family friends, need to do. Here's another thing. Children have a place in God's kingdom. The disciples rebuked, excuse me, those who brought the children. Try there. I think I'll be all right. The disciples rebuked those who brought the children to Christ. And there's a phrase there that says he was greatly displeased. Now that's pretty mild compared to what it really, really means. It means he was indignant with them. He was very upset with them. He was unhappy with their actions and to the point that he didn't want to hear any excuses. So listen, as a church, we don't need to make excuses to keep kids away. I've been in an environment a while back where, not this church, but in another church I was at, where one person made the comment, you know, we didn't want kids running around messing the carpet up or you know, anything of that nature. No, that's not what this is about, you know. We're to bring the little children unto Christ. And you know what? Kids are messy. What I found out, I can be messy. Just follow me around for a week and you'll see what kind of messes I can make. So that's why we clean up messes, right? Another thing is to enter into God's kingdom. And this is important for all of us. You must come as a little child. That means unreservedly, you trust Christ. This centers on us sacrificing our self-will, our own ambitions, and following him, taking up our cross to follow him. I know I was guilty of this as a parent, and maybe you are too. Just a moment of honesty. I always tried to get my kids to grow up, you know, behave like an adult. Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here that we have to become as a little child to enter in his kingdom? That's an amazing statement. The reality of God's kingdom is that we are told to enter as a little child. And what is he saying there? He's saying that we trust. And if we can think back to those moments in our life where we've had that undeniable trust from our children, or maybe we gave it undeniably to our parents, those are usually happy moments. And with those principles in mind, I want to talk about three specific things just very briefly this morning as we unpackage the rest of this portion of Scripture. First of all, children need to know that they are important. They do need to know that, okay? Now, I want you to understand, here's your write-in. This in no way implies that children are the only thing. They are part of God's kingdom. Just like seniors are a part of God's kingdom, just like I'm a part of God's kingdom, kids do not need to think that they are the end with all with everything. You know what happens with that? They're called little monsters, right? You know, they need to know that they've got their place, they've got their part, that they're important, they're loved, they're understood. But at this church, we're not trying to put little tiaras on little girls, and we're not trying to put crowns on little boys, Prince Albert or whoever. Only the Lord Jesus Christ deserves to be crowned, right? None of us do. None of our kids do. So we want them to understand there needs to be a healthy balance here. There's a lot of things that have happened for their benefit, and we're happy to do that, but no way we're implying that they're the only things, okay? So they need to know that they're loved. Now let me ask you an important question this morning. How important is a child to you? I think that for the most part, a lot of kids in and around, even where we live at, are not feeling loved, they're not feeling valued. They're just not. The number one reason given for criminal behavior is just the simple fact that kids do not feel loved. And why should they feel loved, given the decisions that men in robes made back on January the 22nd, 1973, when they legalized murder for birth control? That's exactly what they did. Now today, we see about 4,000 preborn babies snuffed out. Stuffed out every day, 1.5 million a year. And to me, it just stands to reason that children do not feel loved because we have relegated the unborn inside the mother's womb as being viable or non-viable. They are all viable. So let me share with you. These things are important. Because these things have happened, there are people that track this kind of stuff. And here's what has happened. since, you know, they said, well, this is going to make family lives better because there'll be, you know, something's unplanned, something that happens, you know, they can correct it and, you know, it's all going to be good, all going to be fine. No, what has happened is we've become a more violent society. Our kids are less likely to be happy. 225% increase in kids that are angry just in general about life. Since abortion. Now, you got that? There's 216% more likely to be resentful toward life. What do they have to live for? You know? 210% more likely to lack a purpose in life. 200% more in general just to be disappointed in life. And this is a reflection on what we view the little baby that is inside the mother's womb. Now, I'm not backing off from that. That's a proven statistical fact. And as we see, the devaluing of children has had anything but a positive effect on society in general. I'm going to tell you here today, prophesying at this moment, that the way that marriage has been redefined in America, we're going to see similar things happen because of it. The redefining marriage will have dire consequences for families, for children's, for the general public at bay. And here's what we need to do as the church. We got to live above it. We got to rise above it. We have to know that that God loves us. He's called us to love one another. He's called us to be salt and light. And the kids around us, regardless if they're your child or somebody else's child, they need to know that you do care about them. Now, I got some little guys and gals running around here. I always try to make sure that when I see them, you know, I sort of tease with them, have fun with them. I let them know that I, as an adult, care deeply about them. I care about what's going on in their life. You know, I'm happy that they're here, and I want them to know that. All of us need to be that way as well. So our culture in the church, we need to care for children, whether they're born or unborn. Amen? And kids need to see moms and dads and a church family that goes beyond their earthly family to a heavenly family that loves and cares for them. So I want to say thank you to the church right now. Before we even hit next Sunday when we do the VBS musical, I want to say thank you for a good week, for your hard work, and we're praying that souls are going to be saved because of this. Amen? Now here's another thing. You've got to just spend time with kids. Sometimes we become so busy that we can't, but the reality is you got to spend time with kids. Parents have to learn not only to hold a child's hand, but also to change their soul takes time. You got to be around them. It really does. In our text, the parents brought the kids, and from what I understand, from what is expounded upon by scholars, the kids range from infants, you know, little toddlers-like, all the way up to preteens. They just brought these kids around the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a good thing. And parents, everything I want you to understand doesn't rest upon you, because what we are told in this text to do is to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't feel totally personable, responsible for everything. Do your part. Get them where they need to be. Live out what you need to live out in front of their life in accordance to God's word. And pray that God just takes these moments, not only in your life, but in their church life, and does great things with them. In our text, they brought little children to him that he might touch them. You know what that tells me? There are just some things I can't do for my child. I could give them earthly things to some extent, but I could not give them heavenly things. I could give them things that are temporal in nature, but only the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can give them things that are eternal in nature that will never end. So this week, when you look at that little kid or bring your little kid here, I want you to know those are good things. You're doing eternal things. Things that will matter not only today, they will have a consequence, a good consequence for today and tomorrow, but for all eternity. And we need to understand that. And then finally, I want us to realize that we we have to trust like a child. We do. Kids want to know if the Christian faith actually works. You know, they do want to believe it. I mean, they can watch Harry Potter, which I've never watched Harry Potter. And maybe you have, but I haven't watched Harry Potter. Probably a lot of people have here. You know, I'm just not big on that kind of stuff. But if that's what you want to watch, watch it, I guess. You know, but you better take it with a grain of salt because it's not truth. We need to live out the truth in the gospel. They need to know that it is real in our life. They need to understand that it is something that actually works in our life. They need to see that when mom and dad get upset and they get a little sideways with one another, that they say something that amazingly has a healing effect. Like, I'm sorry, I overreacted. I love your mother. I love your dad. I love you. Please forgive me. They need to see that you're not perfect, but they also need to see that you're willing to admit that you're not perfect and try to do better. Amen? Isn't that what the Christian faith sometimes boils down to? They need to see it actually works. In the end, we need to remember that Christianity, as much as we preach and teach and do things, we have to realize that the gospel is not necessarily taught, it is caught eventually. They have to buy into it on their own. So parents, here's my challenge. Get right with God. Let's say that together. Get right with God. It's not simply that everything rests upon you, but in a sense, everything does come back to you in some shape or form. So you need to show that you're trusting. You know, one of the best ways to show the kids that you're trusting, that you have a childlike faith, is they see that you pray. Prayer is something I personally am convicted about in my life. There's far too less of it. As the pastor of this church, I'm convicted that we have a few corporate prayers here and there. You know, we pray for the sick. We'll pray for maybe a specific thing going on in the church. But here's what I see that we're not doing. We're really not saying we're trusting God. We're really not. Because we feel like we're doing it on our own effort, our own might, our own strength. And we may be doing it on our own strength, our own might. And that's not good. It's not healthy. It's not the relationship. We're not showing trust to God. So today, I want us to take some time to have a concerted effort to pray, to show some childlike faith here today, and say to God, okay, God, I'm here. I'm here, and I need you. And we need you to show up. And not only do we need you to show up, but we need to understand that you're there when you do show up. The reality without the gospel in kids' lives is that they're going to end up in hell. That's the reality. The reality, earthly, is there's going to be a lot of bad things that go on. Now, Christians do some pretty bad, scummy things. They do. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt for it. But God can forgive. But if you do the bad, the scummy things, and you never trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, my friend, you're going to end up in a place that's called hell. And you're going to end up on a place that's called hell on earth. Because you're 200% more likely somebody's going to hurt you. You're 300% more likely that you're going to use drugs that aren't so good for you. You're 600% more likely that you're going to commit suicide. This all comes from kids just not being given the gospel. 36% more likely that you'll lie to a friend, you'll cheat on an exam. I mean, the numbers go on and on. And this is disturbing. But it shouldn't be surprising to any of us. It starts with devaluing kids. It starts with, it's continued on with the rewrite of marriage. It's witnessed in the life of the leaders in the church who are sometimes afraid to pray. We program God right out of the service. So today, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask families to get together. If you're not with your family right now, then I want you to get with your family right now. I'm going to ask some leaders that already know that they're going to be up here to make your way up on the stage here with me this morning. And we're going to pray. So if you have a group that you normally pray with, I suggest you join with them at this time. If you want to come and sit on the front pews this morning to pray, you're welcome to do that. Let's all just stand for a few moments and let you rest from your seats. If you want to come forward and pray here on the pews this morning or at the altar, but this is what we're going to do this morning as we come to God's throne. And so the way this is going to look, myself and Brenda are going to start out here. I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to pray for a little bit. Then Pastor Justin, he's going to come forward and read. I'm going to pray. And then just continue on down. We're all collectively coming together before the throne of God. Now you're going to be up standing for a while. So if you want to take your seat again, if you want to get somewhere where you can kneel, you go ahead and do that. Because this is going to be a little lengthy. I want you to understand that. But let's show some trust to God this morning, just as a little child. So, honey. John, the third chapter, verse 14-15 says this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord, we're not lifting up this church. We're not lifting up the children. We're not lifting anything up that we do. We are lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, he has said if he would be lifted up, he would draw all men unto himself, Father. And as Moses lifted up that brazen serpent in the wilderness, we understand they were looking at their actions. They were looking at their own sinfulness, Father. And so, Lord, as a church, I pray that we are not afraid or ashamed to lift up that humanity is broken. It needs a Savior. That we have been broken. We are undone. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, we would all be dead going to hell. And so, Father, I pray that we will lift him up, for he alone is worthy.
Matthew 19 says this, 13 through 15. It says, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Let's pray. God, we come before you just humbled that you gave us another day just to wake up. And God, we pray that as we specifically are here in this moment, in this time, praying for specific things. God, I pray for our children. I pray for our family units, because it's not just one person or one event or one thing. It's God has ordained the family and the church family to come alongside and to encourage and lift up and mold. But God, I pray that the parents that you've blessed with children, that they can see that they are not a burden, but they are a blessing. And God, I pray for the parents. I pray that, one, that they have a personal relationship with you. And God, if they haven't, if they've just been playing the game, if they have doubts, if they have concerns, that, Father, you would not let them be afraid to stand up and say, guys, you know what? I've never made this decision myself. And that, God, that you would just break their hearts and that you would allow them to come to you. But God, for those that have that personal relationship with you, I pray that you would strengthen it, not just so that they can be prideful or boastful that they know more of the Bible or know more about you, but God, so that they can be those parents that bring their children to you, not just bringing them to church, but God, in everyday life, through the things that they say, through the actions that they take, that they're always leading their children to you, that you are the center focus of that. God, we pray for the children of the families that you would allow them to express and to have that relationship with you. God, I pray that that we take that seriously, that we know that children, that childlike faith, that they just come ready to accept and willing to accept, but God, that we would explain to them what it means to have that relationship with you. And God, I pray that you would do a great work in their lives. And God, I pray that that through these children that you've blessed to be able to come to this church, that you will let them be a light and an example, not only to their peers and their other children, but God, they will be a light and example to us as adults as they live a life that's on fire for you and live a life that is unashamed and unafraid to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that they're around. So, Father, please place your hand upon us as a church and as a family and our individual families, that we will follow you and that we will give all glory back to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be the first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Right. Heavenly Father, we pray for this week of VBS, Lord, and for your blessing and your presence here, Lord. As we dedicate this next week to you, Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you'll help us, that you'll help us tell your story. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the hearts and the souls of everyone here and for all the children that will be here, Lord. Change our hearts, Lord. Help them to see that you are good, Lord, and your ways right. Help us to be part of that, Lord, part of your story, Lord. Pray, Lord, for the leadership in this church, Lord, and leadership of VBS, Lord, that you'll give us the patience, Lord, to do what we need to do. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. It says, Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." We're going to take some time now just to pray that we would fulfill this verse as a church, that we would be a church that makes disciples of all nations. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you because you alone have all authority. That the foundation of our ability and the calling to make disciples is because all authority has been given to you in heaven and on the earth. So because you suffered and died and rose again, because you defeated sin and death, because you alone are God, we go. We go next door, we go to VBS, we go to our business, we go to our houses, we go to Sunday school classes and classes throughout the week. God, we go to Haiti and Malaysia and Canada, Indianapolis. God, we go wherever you may send us. We go to make disciples. God, may we as a church understand that this is not a calling for a select few. That the calling to make disciples is a calling upon all people. It's a calling upon parents. Parents have been given the charge to make disciples of their children throughout the Old and the New Testament, to be the primary disciple makers. God, may we all as parents understand our role as teachers and disciple makers and worship leaders, pastors and shepherds of our children. God, may the mature in Christ understand their role. Each and every one of us have a role in making disciples. It is not just for Sunday school teachers or pastors or preachers or deacons, that all believers may take part in making disciples of all nations. And then as we do so, we teach them all of Scripture, teaching them to obey everything that you've commanded, that we would be a church that loves your word, that is founded upon your word, that grounds everything that we do and teach on your word, because it is only your word that is beneficial, useful, profitable for correction and teaching and rebuke, so that the man, woman, child would be equipped for every good work. It is only your word that is able to bring conviction and bring us to repentance. It is only your word and your word preached and taught that is able to save. There's no authority in anything else other than your word. So may we teach your word, every one of us. Teach your word to all people. May we all be disciple makers. Disciple makers who love your word. And just as Jesus did on the road to Emmaus, that we would show Christ throughout all of Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all about the one who has received all authority in heaven and on earth. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Bible gives us a lot of difficult commands, especially to students, young men, young ladies, their parents. One is just as difficult as the other. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come still in prayer. Father, in humility, Lord Jesus, we ask you, we pray to you, Lord, because you are great, and as Pastor Mark prayed, the only one worthy. Father, we come on our knees with our heads bowed, and we pray, Father, for this young generation. Lord, I saw it written just yesterday that this is not the next generation. Father, this is the generation. Lord, these young men and young women that are still in high school, that are still in college, Father, I pray for them. Lord, I pray for our parents. Lord, I pray that you would guide us. Lord, you have challenged us with a difficult task. Lord, to obey them, even as we obey you. Father, for the parents, I pray your grace, your wisdom, your patience. Father, all of us as parents need to pray for forgiveness where we have failed you, failed our children. Lord, not that they are the end all and the be all, Father, but because we are called to make them disciples. Father, we pray that you would lead them, that you would call them, and Father, we pray that they would answer the call, Lord, to rise up. Father, I pray that they would rise with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the authority of the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Father, I just pray not that you would protect them, that it would be easy, but Father, you would give them the strength, the faith, Lord, the belief to know that your words are true, that our God is real. Lord, and our future is secure. And it has nothing to do with us, but Lord Jesus, it has all to do with you. The blood that you shed, the death that you conquered, and the life that you give. Lord God Almighty, we pray for your glory, for your kingdom to come, and your will to be done. Lord Jesus, it is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
In John 4, verse 23 and 24, Christ tells us how we are to worship. And he says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Father, this morning, we exalt you. We lift you up. We praise you because you are the one worthy of our worship. And God, I pray that we will worship as you have instructed us, and that we will follow you and only you. Lord, I pray that our worship will not be simply the songs that we sing when we gather on Sunday. Lord, because if that's how we view worship, we're not worshiping you. God, I pray that our worship will be the life that we live. Lord, when we go to our jobs, when we're sitting down with our family for dinner, when we're at school or with our friends, God, may the life that we live and the light that we shine be worship to you. Lord, may we not show others that we worship the money that we make from the jobs that we have. And may we not show others that we worship the activities that we do. Lord, may we show the world by the importance that we place on you and only you, that we worship you and you alone. God, I pray that we are not found, as the scripture tells us, where we're only only worshiping with our lips, but our hearts are far from you. God, I pray that is not us. God, I pray we are not, as that passage says, setting up rules of man to dictate our worship of you, but Lord, that we lay everything down and we exalt you and you alone. And God, I'm grateful for this local body of believers, and I thank you for those who you have called in this place to be the instruments of music, the choir, those who play instruments, those who sing on the praise team. God, I'm grateful for their dedication to you, and I pray that we are found not exalting ourselves, but exalting you. And God, when we gather, may the worship and the songs that we sing on Sunday mornings be nothing more than an overflowing of our hearts because of the week that we have spent with you. And may our worship be pleasing to you, because you are worthy. In Christ's name we pray.
Today we want to remember the deacon ministry and just what we do. And as deacons, we are servants of the church. It's not anything that we do or anything that we're better than anybody, but it's to help the ministry and everything that these other guys do up here and for the glory of God. And so that's what I want my focus of this prayer to be about. So we're going to read in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of spirit and wisdom, and we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So let us pray. Dear Lord, we just want to be thankful for the men that serve here, Lord, the ministry. But most of all, Lord, we're thankful for you. We want the focus to be on you, and you as the Most High. Lord, we consider it a privilege to serve you, and we want to remember each and every one that the main focus is to help Pastor Mark and Matt and Jeff and Justin. We just want to turn that over to you today, Lord, to help us, equip us. Lord, we don't want to be afraid to serve the least, Lord. We want to consider it, again, a privilege to free up our pasture to do the ministry. And as we worship and as we grow and as we serve, Lord, as the church and our vision, we want to turn that over to you to help us, to guide us, and to lead us in all the things that we do. And Lord, we pray that we have the same passion that our pastor has, Lord, as he comes and he serves every day and preaches the word and teaches us. And Lord, as Pastor Matt and Justin and Jeff all serve us, we want to turn that over to you and, Lord, to this congregation. And we ask that you help us to pray for us and to guide everything that we do to glorify God. And it's these things we pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask everyone to be seated just for a few moments, and those on stage, if you would take a seat on the front, toward the front area. There's only one other prayer that needs to be prayed today, and I can't pray that for you today. It is a prayer that some of you need to make today, and that is to ask God to forgive you of your sins. In a few moments, we're going to give an invitation. You see some of our leaders stayed up front here. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a couple minutes as I explain some things. But there's a prayer that I can't pray for you. I can pray for your soul to be convicted. I can pray that you might understand that you need a Savior. But ultimately, it comes to you. You making that decision in your heart. You making the realization that I am lost, I need Jesus. So today, would you do that? Maybe you've been running from God for years. Maybe you feel that God won't accept you. I'm here to tell you that He will accept you. He will love you, and he'll begin to work in your life in ways that you never dreamed possible. You may not be an instant success, but God's going to start percolating in you. He's going to start doing some things in your life. So let's all stand again. I'm going to have a brief prayer. If God's speaking to your heart some way about salvation, now friend, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to step out to one of the aisles. If someone's between you and the aisle this morning, say, I need to go forward. If they're a Christian or they're a member, especially of this church, just say, I'd like to go forward, and they will come forward with you. See one of these folks up here on the front pew and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you. We trust you implicitly. And we know it's only you that can save. So I pray that the conviction that is felt by some right now will be acted out in the affirmative. That people will receive the forgiveness that is ready to be given to them, that they'll start life anew, that they begin their journey with you today to a place of everlasting peace, everlasting comfort, everlasting daylight, where there will never be a tear shed, where there will never be another problem. I pray for these things in the name that is above all other names, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God, God in flesh. We ask these things. Amen.